Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Today, it's a great honor to chat with the legendary Paul Wong on the podcast. Dr. Wong is Professor Emeritus of Trent University. He is a fellow of APA and CPA and president of the International Network on Personal Meaning and the Meaning-Centered Counseling Institute, Inc. Editor of the International Journal of Existential Positive Psychology, he has also edited two influential volumes on the human quest for meaning. A prolific writer, he is one of the most cited existential and positive psychologists. The originator of meaning therapy and international meaning conferences, he has been invited to give keynotes and meaning therapy workshops worldwide. Dr. Wong is the recipient of the Carl Rogers Award from the Society for Humanistic Psychology. Dr. Wong, what an honor it is to chat with you today.
Me too.
Where should we even begin? You know, I'll tell you, I was looking through all of your papers going all the way back, trying to trace the development of your research and thinking, going all the way back to your work with rats. Wow. In the 70s, the effect of food deprivation and imprinting on the behavior of young domestic chicks. I think that might have been one of your first papers, 1971.
My work here before that. That was
60s?
Yeah, I worked with rats first.
Wow.
Actually, all my research had the same theme. The theme is, how can animals or human beings survive and thrive in deprivation, in adverse conditions? That would be my theme. That's why I call myself an existential positive psychologist, because life is hard. Life is hard for all animals. Survival of the fittest. You are now strong, you got eaten. You either eat or be eaten. So that has been my question. You know, how can we survive and thrive in the face of threat, obstacles, danger? So that is not just a philosophical question, because while we're born, Japan invaded China. You know, we grew up with a window taped with paper strips, so that would not be shattered. And we at night we use a little oil lantern, cannot turn on the light. When we're 4 years old, to Japan with Japanese soldiers with guns, came to a house, want to take over the house. So we can all move out. So I was shipped to, all the children were shipped to different families. So I was shipped to a I removed my relatives. So they put me in the basement full of lies and darkness. And I was spent nights there, you know, with my whole body beaten by bugs. So therefore, you know, and then we escaped to Hong Kong as refugee. So that's why I say, well, there's a lot of positive psychology talk about life in neutral and positive territories. I did not mean because most of my life is in negative territory.
What, so where were you born? Wait, let's back up a second. Where were you born? In what year?
1937 in Tianjin.
Wow. And so where did you go to college?
I went to a college in Carleton University.
Okay.
I came to Canada to study.
At Calgary. Yeah.
Carleton University.
Oh, okay. In Canada.
In Ottawa, yeah. And then you apply for my PhD. Yeah.
Okay. And then at what point did you get interest in psychology?
I was in psychology when I was a little kid. You know, I always wondering why people do things that way. Why people say that? You know, when I was 8 years old, I was worried about, you know, what happened to me if my parents died when I was young, who looked after me, and what happened when I died. So I was wrestling with the issue of death when I was 8 or 9 years old.
Wow.
So I was born a sad philosopher.
Yeah. So were you interested in the existential philosophers?
Yeah, of course. I read all the, you know, in my teens, I read all the same books.
Yeah. And what's really interesting about you is that you predate the field of positive psychology by quite a bit. I mean, I was looking back, you came up with the perceived well-being scale in 1984, the year Michael Jackson won the Grammy. one of his first Grammys. Tell me about that.
I did a long story with me and Marty. Okay, we actually started about the same time. See, when he was doing research on helplessness,
right.
I was
right.
doing research both with animals. I was doing research with learned optimism.
Yeah,
learned courage. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I wrote to him, I say, hey, Marty, I say, I don't think that animals can become helpless so readily, because if they become helpless after some exposure to non-contingent plantation, they will not have survived. I say, your animal, your dog, have already been reduced to the helpless state to incarceration. I said, I bet you anything, those street dogs, they will not be so easily reduced to helplessness. But later on, research showed that that's right. Okay? A wild dog would not become helpless so soon. And also, I say that human beings are supposed to, I feel, non-contingent reinforcement become helpless. Well, that's silly. Nobody can graduate to become helpless. That is an artifact. So I do the same experiment by asking them, my subject will say, I'm not helpless. I'm just sitting still here to waste my time. I know this whole thing's rigged. So they interpret that as helplessness. Our research, you know, with animals, with human, to prove that Marty's wrong. And his partner, Steve Mayer, agreed with me.
Amazing. So you contacted Marty in the 80s?
In the 60s.
Well, you said email, so I don't think email existed then, but you wrote him letters?
Yeah, well, yeah. I was doing, yeah. So, Steve Mayer liked my work. See?
Who did?
Steve Mayer.
Yeah, Steve Mayer. Yeah, Marty's collaborator, main collaborator on the Learn Helplessness also, Studies. Wow.
Yeah, he's a teacher of Chris Peterson.
Yes, yes. Of course.
So Mayer became my good friend. So he was serving on the National Institute of Mental IMH committee. So when he finished his term, he recommended me to take over IMH biological behavioral science panel. So, and also he came to my conference where I met your mentor,
Robert Sternberg.
Yeah.
What year was that? What year was that conference?
That was way back. No, that was. But anyway, so Steve Mayer came to my conference, came to my symposium on helplessness, doing interpretation of helplessness. But anyway, so because I don't agree with Marty, so well, people disagree because we are doing findings, right? So for some reason, he got married with me. I don't know what.
He what? Say it again.
He got married with me.
He got mad at you. For doing what exactly?
Because of questioning, he said.
But then he ended up creating a whole field based on it. But then he created a whole field based on it.
Yes, basically, I started my animal research that, you know, I actually talked to Skinner. I said,
you talked to B.F. Skinner?
Yeah, I talked to Skinner, yeah. I actually, Chris Monument's game, had lunch with him. So I said, I talked to Skinner, I said, Skinner, your output conditioning is just first level. The higher level of open conditioning, because animals can learn rules that govern the first level. So I took the data. He agreed with me, but he died later on.
Wow.
So this distinction might be kind of uncreativity. So I want to teach rats rules. Now, one rule is the creativity. In other words, I invented a two-bar Skinner box. So they got reinforcement only when they learn to alternate left, right. They cannot just press one bar. They have to alternate. They learn the rule of alternation. They got reinforcement only when they press two here, two left. I can teach the right how to count either. Also, this is an interesting thing. So I do a REM sleep rat with rat, okay, with Carl Smith. He's a sleep researcher. This is very interesting, okay. When you teach animals simple learning, they're REM sleep, you know, we know that, okay. But for teach animal creativity, that is doing a game. Because some rats can never learn. They're stupid rats.
Some rats will never learn. Wow. That's amazing. Well, I wonder if that's the case with humans as well.
They learn creativity. They learn alternate. You know, they fix it on one bar.
Yeah.
They have to switch bar in order to get reinforcement. So usually we find that the few animals who are able to learn, they show a huge REM sleep. People, the next day, they got it. Right? The rest do not show that. Show a huge jump in REM sleep, never learn. So it's somehow that their brain, that little rat brain, like, wow, how did this insight? You know?
Yeah,
it's not happening. Yeah. There's a rule there, so they're able to learn a higher order thing.
I see.
I also able to teach animals to learn pressure bar that can increase the efficiency of reinforcement out of bar. So higher order, the Skinner never got to study that.
That's amazing. When did you do those studies? Was that early on in your career?
That was in the late '60s.
Wow! Wow!
And also, I also challenged Rotter. I challenged everybody.
The locus of control guy. The locus of control guy. Wow!
I said, Rotter, you're all wrong. How so?
You really stir the pot there, Dr. Wong.
I said, you're all wrong. I said, you force people to choose internal and external. No, the world doesn't operate that way, I say. I say, Chinese guys are both internal and external at the same time. See, we work hard internal, but we give credit to our teacher, to our parents. Oh, I'm able to succeed because my teacher is very good and my parents support my study. So we're able to that's why they understand why Chinese people didn't know how to figure it out. They cannot measure it. They cannot measure the true picture. They force them to choose either one. So I developed internal, external as two independent dimensions. So lo and behold, Chinese guys are both high in internal and external dimension. So I said that should be applied to all research, that most variables are not two values on the same dimension, you know, bipolar.
Right. There are two independent dimensions. Yeah.
So that can change the whole field of measurement. When you have two independent dimensions, then you have a lot more space, creativity, a lot for maximum cognitive flexibility. Right? Sure, like that. Later on, after me, the guy in Michigan with the Chinese professor Pan, P-U-N-G, they say, oh, Chinese people are more flexible cognitively. They see things as differently. I found that a long time ago. I'm living in Canada, nobody pay attention to my research. So that's why you invited me. I said, well, that's a good opportunity for me to share my ideas.
Yeah.
Because people don't take Canada seriously.
They don't?
They don't take Canada seriously. Because everything in America, right?
I do. My best friend lives in Canada.
Oh, then you're different. That's why you invited me. That's why I'm grateful to you, right?
Okay. There's a lot going on here right now. A lot that you're talking about.
But I'm doing everything, trying to find out what's going on. So my thinking is a bit different from people in the West because my training is different, right?
Yeah.
In Chinese, you know, when I was a kid, my parents taught me, you got to work hard, right? You got to work hard. The top people work the hardest, okay? There's a Chinese saying that you will do until suffering in young age, you never succeed in life. So that idea ingrained in my mind, you do work and do suffering and do work hard, you'll never amount to anything.
Mm.
So that's why when I see that not American young people want an easy life, they can success easily without sacrifice, without suffering. You know, I say, well, that's not real life. So now, pandemic, people can realize now, life is difficult with pandemic, with lockdown, people got unemployed, bankrupt, got sick. So now they have dosage of reality that life is hard. So I say life is hard. Do you know that those part of psychologists say, I'm unscientific, I'm too pessimistic. I got criticized for years by positive psychologists.
Well, this is why you're an existential positive psychologist. I think you may be the only existential positive psychologist on the planet.
Yeah. The existential people hate positive psychology. They're mad.
I know. It's ridiculous. I've been trying to unite all these different factions. And I mean, why not just call yourself an existential humanistic psychologist? That's what I am. I'm just curious.
Yeah. It turns out easy. So you are amazing because you call yourself human psychologist, and yet the positive psychology people embrace you. But the rest of human psychology, positive psychologists don't have anything to do with them.
It's a shame. It's a real shame. I've been trying to change that. Yeah.
Because Kirk Schneider.
Yes, I love Kirk Schneider.
Kirk Schneider and I. Trying to set up a special issue of American psychologists and have a dialogue with Marty and Jonathan Haidt. It never come to fruition. They will not. So it'd be nice to have a dialogue. They don't believe in dialogue. I don't know why.
Well, Jonathan Haidt definitely believes in dialogue. It's his whole thing.
Yeah, great, but anyways, it never comes to fruition.
Okay? That's a shame.
Yeah. So even now, I write to positive psychology people, like this girl about a great, what's this guy? Duckworth, the Chinese woman.
Angela Duckworth, yeah.
I told her, I said, you're Chinese. China people don't think about that great like that. You can pay. Your courage, how can you have true groups of courage? It's just passion and persistence. With a conviction, without courage, you don't. I mean, the basic thing is moral fortitude. And the moral fortitude to do the right thing. And also bravery, I'm willing to put my life on the line. I'm able to risk my life. It's not just persistence, but sacrifice. So you miss out courage part. You miss out the faith to believe in something. She didn't reply. At least you have good sense to have taught. I'm older than you. You're my daughter. I could taught you something, right? Her students talk to me.
That was nice.
But she never replied me. I mean, this is not a good researcher.
Well, she's very busy. She's a very busy human. Maybe it wasn't personal.
And for the sake of science, you another senior researcher discuss with you on a measure that you're passionate about. At least you should discuss. He ignored me. I wrote her so two or three times.
Sorry, who was that? Who are you talking about?
Angela Duckworth.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said he, so I was confused. Do you mean she? Yeah.
She. Yeah.
Yeah, she. It's okay. Yeah. So, I hear your frustration. I hear that you are frustrated. In 2020, you wrote an article called "The Unheard Cry of a Successful Asian Psychologist." That was the title of your article. What is the unheard cry exactly? If you could give you the microphone right now, what exactly is it?
Is that so? Not only people do not want. I mean. The real, real famous people like Skinner and they will talk to me. But for some reason, the positive psychology people, this tribal mentality, they don't want to talk to people who question their simplicity, okay? So do not talk to me, okay? And I got criticized. One time, I applied for a grant for Templeton for my conference. Mm. One reviewer with psychology said that suffering has nothing to do with psychology. Reject my grant.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But I fought back. I said, something that nothing to do with psychology. Suffering is the basis of psychology. So I won the case, I got my money, okay? But I'm saying that at every turn, I got this particular people slapping on my, that reject me left and right. Continuing, every step of the way, they are rejecting.
Well, let's talk about your research, because let's focus on the positive. Let's not focus on your suffering. No, I'm joking. That was a joke. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, what's awesome about your research. You tried to create something called PP 2.0, positive psychology 2.0. And I just want to read a quote of yours. You said PP 2.0 is concerned with how to bring out the best in individuals and society through dialectical principles of yin and yang in spite and because of the dark side of human existence. Now, look, I love it. I mean, I discovered your work through a textbook that I was reading to prepare for my positive psychology course I was teaching at Penn. There was an introduction to positive psychology textbook where you were featured heavily in it. So first of all, the whole field's not against you, just so you know. I mean, you were in this whole textbook. You were featured, you know? And I really liked your work. I really like your work when I saw that. So if you could just elaborate a little bit on PP 2.0, that'd be great.
Okay. This is very interesting. Okay. I've been saying again and again, but nobody listens. So I'm saying that it's impossible to have physical health without have the virus under control. We know that now, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how healthy you are. Using your immune, no. You know, anybody can get sick, okay? So to get physically healthy, you need to have immunization. You need to protect your body against injury, against toxins. The same logic applies to mental health. You have positive mental health or happiness. You have to protect the mind against trauma, childhood trauma, against toxic relationships, against toxic positivity, again, toxic emotions. So therefore, positive psychology 2.0 said that just focusing on the positive is unrealistic. Not only unrealistic, it's harmful, because I have so many clients. Are miserable because they want happiness and they can't get it.
Right.
They're miserable.
Yeah.
So this single-minded focus on positivity actually create people who are frustrated or depressed or anxious. True positivity is like light shining in the darkness. True possibility must take into account the misery index in the world, the condition, the world condition, poverty, war, climate change, you know, as well as the dark side. That's why when I wrote that paper, I said, wow, this dark side, light side, that's great research. Oh, it's not a way of, it's from Penn State. I said, oh. I said, Marty must have a reverse experience. A lot of this kind of research. That is the dark side, light side. So I always tell people, you can't be happy if you don't know how to get along with your dark twin. Everybody has evil twin, okay?
Sorry, say that again?
Everybody has an evil twin.
An evil what?
Twins.
Twins.
They're good.
Two sides, yeah. Of them.
They're two sides. I mean, twins. twins.
Oh, twins. Do you think everyone has an evil side to them, though? Like, evil's a pretty strong word.
Dark side.
Yeah.
Your bright side and dark side. You have the golden shadow, your dark shadow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. So that's why I'm very excited about your research. I wish that Scott would go one step further, not study them as separate, with separate correlates, but somehow to see how different people treat these two parts of them differently. Those people are able to transcend and integrate.
Yes.
They have more mental health, better mental health than people who fighting with a divided self, polarized mind, fighting within themselves. Those guys deny the dark side will have worse life. So I say, I wish God would go to the next step. You know, the second wave of psychology asks for a completely different research strategy. That is, when you investigate any positive variable or do any possible intervention, you have to factor in a covariant of the dark side, the existential side. So that will give you a better picture, because that people study past emotional, not emotion, but they issue it separately. There's a huge question and purple question. When you move on to the dark side and the bright side, the two sides are either additive of our, it's different algebra. It says in the old days, Atkinson, the achievement motivation, saying that the net achievement is equal to approach minus avoidance. So I say, Atkinson, you're wrong. Because
who's right? Who's right in the field?
He's wrong. I say, you know, the best lawyer, the best scientist, because they don't want to be failed. They work doubly hard. So in that case, if they are able to have a positive approach, adaptive approach to fear of failure, they were able to turn avoidance into doubly hard work to avoid that, to make sure the avoidance doesn't happen. And plus the motivation to succeed. So if a person who incorporates the natural part and transform it will be stronger and happier and more achieving than people only focus on the positive side. Is that my whole point? I'm saying that you can achieve, you can be more creative, more resilient, more flourishing if you factor in the dark side, make them work for you. Just some logic, right? You make it double. Your has lots of energy there.
Can you define the dark side for me? What? How do I know what's in my dark side?
Come on, you know your dark side.
Greed. I know. Oh,
greed. Selfishness. Narcissistic. Okay?
The sins. The deadly sins.
Yeah. Manipulation, trying to use people as instrument.
I see.
Rather than treating people as people, you manipulate, use people.
Yeah.
And psychopath. Psychopath, you went to everyone you destroy anybody on your way to get ahead. The corporate leaders, politicians, many of them are psychopaths. They are very crazy people. But misguided, Adler will talk about their misguided motivation, misguided lifestyle. So that's why positive 2.0 means that you recognize that everything has downside and upside. Even your dark side has an upside, your dark side is very creative, a lot of energy. The creative energy comes from your dark side and your bright side, actually more from dark side. So if you avoid the dark side, then you can never be a good writer. The dark side has a lot of brilliant ideas in how to, the criminal mind, the criminal mind is very smart. The criminal mind say, how can I get the most from this guy? Oh, a scam. There's a lot of scam artists. They're very smart people. You know, all the scam artists, the Ponzi scheme, the all kinds of schemes. They come with elaborate creative stories to get your money. So the dark side, you know, you're really able to ally with the dark side, ask them to help you to do good things. You're full ahead and only focus on the positive. That's simple logic. But nobody listens to me.
Well, I would push back on the thing that no one's listening to you, because there are a number of psychologists who are interested in this what you call the second wave of positive psychology. There was a book, I think a book came out a couple years ago on the second wave of positive psychology, and they, you know, were lauding you, and
they are my friends, Tim Loma, all my
exactly,
friends.
Exactly.
I'm saying that the old guard, you know, the original group, you know, like 20 years ago, those guys are like the bunker mentality. You know, they think that we are I'm challenging the empire. the empire, man. And see if the younger guys, they feel like me. They say, you know, Marxist theory doesn't work with my students. You know, this is unreal. You know, that's in 15 years. Peace and prosperity. But now we have 9/11. Now we have pandemic. I mean, the Marxist stuff, old stuff now. You know, it's the Clinton year. Of course, change. Before, you have the pagers. Now we have 5G iPhone. The world has changed.
So, what I'm trying to understand is this: there's a lot of similarities and differences between your approach and you know, positive psychology 1.0, as you would call it. So you've chosen virtue, meaning, resilience, and well-being as the core tenets of positive psychology 2.0. Is that right?
Yeah, they're my old days. I become more complicated than that. But anyway, so on every single issue, we have different assumptions. The assumption that true possibility, true positivity include existential darkness. Also, you cannot look at the world through the binary either-or mentality. But that's being silly. Let me say, because if your mind is big enough, you should be able to hold two ideas in two hands, you know, both ends. You know, like emotion options and figures. You should have a heart big enough to hold two emotions. Your mind should be big enough to consider both views. Both ideas might have something to offer, I'm sure. Rather than fighting each other binary, so let's think about.
I agree.
Like the dark side and bright side Borky contributes something to the enterprise.
I agree.
Oh boy, that will make you much more creative, more energetic. So the whole idea is that quantum transcendence, quantum thinking, a cat is both alive and dead. Quantum computer is not binary. People cluster thinking, system thinking. Right. So the whole idea is that, well, our brain should be big enough to feel comfortable to holding two opposing ideas and feel comfortable. Yeah, both are something to offer. Then we have dialogue, internal dialogue between your heart, your mind, your internal dialogue between your soul and your body. So that's how we grow. We grow through navigating a balance in a complex system.
Yes. Is this your dual system model of the good life that you're describing? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in Chinese term, the yin yang, right?
Yeah.
Okay, one side. One side, you're in trouble. So the second part that I don't agree, that you have to look at things. Because when you look at things, when your heart big enough to hold two emotions, all the people relationship, like woman and man, all of them love, hate together. The teachers, student relationship, often they love, hate. Okay? So relationship, emotion, often they're including two complementary but opposite sides. Okay?
Agreed.
Yeah. Now, here's the difference. So we talk about you got to involve in the dark part. You have see things paradoxically. The third thing is that to ourselves is not good. Psychology in the 60s, self-psychology. Self-psychology only takes you so far because of my friend David Beckham say, it's not just agency, they're also communion, community.
Yep.
But I also talk about the spirituality because behind the two agency and communion, the spirituality. Is a tripartite model. The holistic approach to human being is that human being has a spiritual dimension. And more importantly, we are not a isolated individuals closed in skins. We are all part of a human network. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, so therefore, a psychologist, somebody built on I as an agent, as a self-contained, sufficient individual, that will result to what the guy called years ago, American psychologist called the empty self. The empty self occur is because there's too much focus on self. And ignore the community, social values, at the top of social interest, community value of community, a neighborhood, and spiritual value. Sometimes, Jordan Peterson called about religious instinct. I mean, I call that a spiritual instinct.
Yeah.
You study culture. I say that Voltaire said that if you know God, you create God. Because in this horrible world, we can't survive without God. So I told many of my clients, they're from China, they don't believe in God. I say, I try to help you with all the psychology techniques that I know. You still can't beat addiction. You better you better ask God to help you. I say, you have to pray as if there's a God. Because, currently speaking, I try everything. Yes, still cannot break the addiction or just have a bad habit. I say, sorry, I can't help you anymore. I only pray for you. my previous self. This is how I become Christian. I don't believe in God. Well, that's free. So I pray something happen. Wow, I said, oh, that's magic. Magic. I said, now I can help you. So therefore, when people discard spiritual values, Judeo-Christian value, the whole Western civilization is in danger. They are no match to the Eastern civilization. The discipline, the hard work, the creativity. The Western civilization is no match to the Asian civilization. Without what makes us strong is Judeo-Christian value of assign intrinsic value to individual life. Every individual matters. So that is the biggest contribution, and also the Western value talk about the importance of granting grace to people, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big deal, okay?
That's a big one. Forgiveness is a big one.
Without forgiveness, there's no relationship, okay? It's also a negative part together, see? Without forgiveness, then not possible to maintain the relationship. Mm-hmm. You have to forgive the bad stuff. You see? So in everything, that's one thing that in order for us to flourish, we have to factor in not the agency, but community. Mm-hmm. We have to. So I've been doing a meetup group, trying to create community for years. Reaccept community and spirituality. This world is, the universe is full of wonders and mysteries. Mm. We don't know what black matter is. We don't know what black hole is. We don't know what kind of power makes all the galaxies, all the stars moving in the orbit orderly. Okay? We don't know. They have something beyond our thinking. Call it God or call it cosmos, whatever you call it. So when you're in trouble, the idea that there's an unknown superpower can provide help. It's such a consolation. Give us such hope. That's why I said tragic optimism.
Tragic optimism.
It's based on faith. Then all things fail. You are a miner buried three miles underground. Or you are floating in the ocean full of sharks in a little rubber boat. You better pray, man. You better pray. Nobody can help you. That's why I say you can't go through life without God. It's very difficult. Young man, you can go through God.
I wasn't expecting a sermon. So let me ask you about me. My last question for today, because we're coming up on the hour. But I really think during this time, a lot of people feel a great lack of meaning. And you're really the guy to talk to about this. You know, you're the person to talk to about this. You created a meaning therapy. Is that right? A meaning centered form of therapy that was based on Viktor Frankl's work. Is that right? Integrative meaning therapy, right?
Yeah. Usually people ask me, say, how I find meaning? I say, being alive is meaning. You know that? Hmm. Think about that. Life is a gift that you're able to feel, touch, you're able to learn, and every unique singularity. Meaning is that love life, learning, growing, bearing fruit, the whole process, the theological, that every person is on earth, it can learn and grow and bear fruit. That's meaning. That meaning number one.
Yes.
You know, everybody can mean it for being alive. Do you know that?
I agree. It's called, I love the idea of existential gratitude.
Not yet.
Okay. Too soon.
So just first lesson I tell them, right? Share with them. But today you're able to. I mean, many people are sick. Many people can walk. Now you're able to walk around. You're able to learn things. Wow, what a privilege. What a privilege. Think about that. If you have a sense, just think about life itself is a miracle. That you're part of a miracle. That being alive is a source of meaning, okay? The second thing. You're alive, not only you're able to create, you know, Frankl called that creation value. That the brain is a marvelous machine. You can, that little kid draw nice pictures. You can create music, create art. My little son is very scientific, able to create things, okay? Computer. Wow, that's amazing. Creativity is meaning. You create something with your life, with your effort. That is so much joy, so much richness. Creative meaning.
Yes.
Like yourself, yes. Meaning, creativity meaning. And Yalom, well, you know Yalom. Yalom said that, life is horrible, so painful. But creativity, you're able to create something with your life. That is, he said he wished he had my faith, but he couldn't. Because his scientific thinking, he cannot believe in God. He admired life by faith. Okay? But I said, but you have creativity. Okay? So we joke around about that. But anyway, so creativity. One more thing, you not only can create things, but you're able to savor and appreciate all the beauties around you. Look, the sunset, sunrise, and the leaves change color over the season. I smell the fresh air. I look at children play. I listen to beautiful music. Wow, we're living in a wonderful world.
Yes.
Even during wartime, we're able to put our hands against an wall with a shadow that we're playing games. There's so many things to enjoy. Even if you continue to be depressed, I say, shame on you. Shame on you. You don't know how to appreciate all the things you already have. The mindfulness is about opening your eyes to say, look, there are lots of wonders around this world. Life is beautiful. You know, garbage can is beautiful. The artist can make a beautiful painting.
Suffering can be beautiful. Is that what you're saying?
Suffering is beautiful because it's cool to be sad.
It's cruel to be sad?
It's cool to be sad.
It's cool.
To be sad. Yes, I'm a sad philosopher. It's better than a happy pig. A sad philosopher means your life is depth. A happy pig is shallow. Nobody wants to be shallow. You want a meaningful life, it's a deep life. See that? No way to look at that. Your meaningful life, don't go for shallow life. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's a shallow life. Be a staff philosopher. Join my club.
Do you say tribe? Do you say join my tribe? Is that what you said?
It's join my club to be sad.
Say it again.
Join my club.
Join my club. Yeah. So I really like I really like that idea of depths of meaning. You know, the 1987 paper you wrote with your colleague. Yeah, depths of meaning. Yeah.
Let me just continue the sort of meaning there. Okay? Creativity and experiential, okay? Now, what we can also say, the defining attitude, that means courage. If you're in a camp, you can't work, that you can't enjoy things, but at least you dare to rebel against your fate.
Yes.
Yes.
You can kill my body, but I cannot destroy my soul. Okay? I will walk into my gas chamber with prayer in my heart, praise on my lips. I die with dignity. I choose to die with dignity.
With what on your lips?
A song in my lips. Praise. Praising God.
Praise?
Praising. Praising
God. Gotcha. Okay.
In my lips, okay? In my heart, in my prayer, in my heart.
Okay.
I said, praise the Lord. Okay? Praise the Lord. So I'm saying that he said that, and all Alexander psychologists said that as human beings, our job is to rebel. Rebel against fate. Rebel against all the deterministic forces. It's to rebel against all the determining forces. You feel free like a human being. That you're fighting against the dark forces. You're alive. So therefore, you enjoy. That's why Sisyphus must be happy when he defied the gods, pushed the rock on hill and rolled down and say, fuck you all. I will continue to pull. I enjoy my strength stronger. I will not roll over and die.
Yeah.
Defiance is happiness.
Wow. Dr. Wong, please don't change. Don't change. I have to thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, but I also want you to know that I appreciate you. I don't ignore you. So
I really appreciate you too. You're the Maslow Jr.
Maslow Jr. I love it. Well, I just real honor having you on my podcast today. Yes.
We're on the same page. We continue to work hard to bring the fruit together, okay?
Absolutely.
We're all the same. We're all human beings, okay?
Exactly.
Yeah. So those labels divide, okay? Labels divide.
I agree.
So I don't know how to call myself because it's your part of psychology. Because I'm dealing with existential issues, but also very positive. I believe in a better future, and I believe that people can change.
Yeah, and that's I think very much in line with the humanistic psychologists, and they were deeply influenced by the existential philosophers.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll talk to you again. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Wong.
We'll see you at the conference. Okay,
See you at the conference.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Psychology Podcast. If you'd like to react in some way to something you heard, I encourage you to join in the discussion at thepsychologypodcast.com. That's thepsychologypodcast.com. Also, if you'd prefer a completely ad-free experience, you can join us at patreon.com/psychpodcast. Thanks for being such a great supporter of the show, and tune in next time for more on the mind, brain, behavior, and creativity.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.